Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Friday's update here on Manx Radio, where we'll take you through some of the main news of the day. We're going to talk a lot about the bus strikes again today because the second round of that walkout started earlier. We've been hearing how passengers are coping, how local businesses are being affected, and we'll also talk to the head of the Unite Union to find out where they believe negotiations currently stand. Also tonight, how well are the island's whistleblowing policies working? We visit Balaff School to learn about a new initiative aimed at reducing tooth decay among children, and we'll hear from a TT rider who's back for 2026 after a year of injury. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with the roundup of the main news headlines first with Darren Fastamai.
Unite the Union says it's been stonewalled by the Department of Infrastructure over the bus driver strikes. Regional officer Debbie Horsall says the union have heard nothing from the bus operators since the end of the first round of strikes on Tuesday.
The drip feed of that rhetoric that's coming from the Isle of Man government, from DOI, is this is what we are doing. They've done nothing. They've never come and spoken to us.
Two of the island's women's MHKs says Tynwald is in a good place for gender balance when compared to other jurisdictions. Douglas Central member Anne Corliss and Russian's Michelle Haywood have just returned from the Commonwealth Women's Parliamentary Conference in Belfast. And Athol Street in Douglas has now reopened following a single vehicle road traffic collision earlier this afternoon. Traffic was being diverted with police and ambulance crews on the scene shortly after 3 p.m. No further details have been issued at this time. Once again, the road has reopened. To international news, a man has been jailed for the rest of his life for the murder of his former partner's sister and her three children in Bradford in August 2024. Shiraz Ali set Barony Gawith's house alight to take revenge on his ex, Antonia. Donald Trump's appeared to rule out any chance of a diplomatic deal with Iran to end the conflict, demanding an unconditional surrender. Israeli fighter jets have struck an underground bunker built for Iran's late supreme leader in Tehran on the seventh day of fighting. And there'll be non-English lyrics in this year's UK Eurovision entry for the first time. Singer Look Mum No Computer will perform Eins Zwei Drei in Austria. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So there is a yellow weather warning for frost and icy patches. That comes into force at 8 p.m. It's until 9 tomorrow morning. It's all island that's at risk of this, although with a southerly breeze developing, it might allow temperatures to recover more quickly in southern coastal areas. The general forecast then, dry with sunny or clear spells this evening. It's been gorgeous today. That frost will appear overnight. Some isolated icy patches, light winds, they'll settle southerly later. Minimum temperatures will be around zero. Then tomorrow it'll be a cold start, but another fine and sunny day, light winds, best temperatures around 9. And then Sunday, it's going to be cloudy, the risk of some light rain or drizzle at times, light winds again, and maximum temperatures on Sunday around 10.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate.
Coming up to 3.5 minutes past 5 here on Update. So let's talk about those bus strikes then, because Unite the Union, as we've just heard, says it's been stonewalled by the Department of Infrastructure over the bus driver strikes. Its members are currently taking part in their second round of industrial action in this long-running dispute over pay and working conditions. Earlier today, the DOI said Bus Fannin had had two meetings with the Manx Industrial Relations Service, that's MIRS, to try and resolve the situation this week, insisting it remains ready and willing to have positive and constructive negotiations. But Debbie Hulsall, who's the regional officer for Unite the Union on the Isle of Man, told Amy Griffiths they've heard nothing from the bus operator since the end of the first round of strikes on Tuesday.
I think people need to remember this is the mandate of the union members. This is a people-led organisation. We go by what our members tell us, and the members want to have meaningful, constructive dialogue, and they have chosen not to do that. We are open for any negotiation, any consultation and any offer. It is the democratic right of these members to vote on whatever offer comes forward, and the offers that have been put on the table have been rejected. I look across where I stand here in Bank Circus and I look on the tracks. They get paid for working weekends, they get paid for working bank holidays. So why is it so disproportionate? Why is there this lack of meaningful negotiation when it literally isn't the case of they're being unreasonable? They're being fair. They want parity. And, you know, a strike is a last resort. Do you not think we've literally sat here and we've had them negotiations, we've been stonewalled? So the drip feed of that rhetoric that's coming from the Isle of Man government, from DOI, from Bus Fannin, is this is what we are doing. They've done nothing. They've never come and spoken to us. So I find it quite amazing that they are sitting and saying we're open to conversation. Well, if you are, come to the table. Don't put the rhetoric out and make it look that the union are the ones who's basically the problem. We're not. We came with the problem, but we had the solution at the side of it. We gave the efficiencies, we gave all the things that they could be doing, and they chose not to do that. That's a conversation DOI need to basically articulate to the people on the Isle of Man when they're not providing services.
The top line of this press release is Unite the Union strike action is affecting bus services again today. And the title, it's Unite the Union strike affecting bus passengers again. What kind of message does that send to your members?
At the end of the day, the employees of DOI and Bus Fannin. So why did they then blame the union? You know, they were given this notification of action dates. They were given that in the beginning of February. It was an opportunity for them to come to the table and basically have a conversation. They've chose not to. So stop with the spin. Stop with the derogatory comment of the union. They are led by what they feel as their employer supported them. Well, if they had of, they would have given them a reasonable and fair offer. They've chose not to. So stop with that rhetoric. It's not the union. They're employees. Nobody goes into strike action for the fun of it. They've came here because negotiation has failed. They have failed to negotiate accordingly and appropriately. So we are now in the second action. There has been no comms, no support. There's been nothing to see come to a table apart from what's been fed to the media. Please speak to us. We're willing to engage.
Strong words there from Debbie Halsall, who is the regional officer for Unite the Union here on the Isle of Man. We have, of course, approached the DOI for a response to what Ms. Halsall was saying there. Well, some bus passengers have described this latest strike action by members of Unite as frustrating but understandable. So after this few days of regular service, obviously, there weren't all the buses running this morning, and bus drivers once again on the picket lines calling for better pay and contracts. The DOI has told us it's committed to reaching an agreement with striking bus drivers that doesn't increase bus fares or reduce services. Here's then what some passengers had to say at Lord Street bus station this morning.
Yeah, I've got to sort something out, which I don't know what. I think it's a bit silly, to be fully honest with you, but especially taking so long for them to strike and whatnot. I don't understand it.
And last week when they were on strike, how did you get around then?
I got left off a co-worker, but it's still inconvenient.
It's not really been that different from how it was last week. I just kind of means I get up a lot early, later than I normally do.
I actually spoke to you last week at the start of the strikes, and I know at that time you said you may stay with a friend just because of all the logistics around it. How did last week go? Was it smooth sailing, or did you have to make plans around it?
I did end up staying with my friend that week, who gave us lifts and things back. We still ended up taking the school bus back a lot because there was still one designated for our school. But basically, anywhere we needed to go, my mate's mum just kind of dropped us off.
The first time that they conduct a bus strike, I didn't know that they are going to... There's a bus stop then. I'm waiting in the bus stop then. Almost 1 hour and 30 minutes, I didn't... That's why I'm confused. What? Well, there's no bus. Then I return to my flat. Then I call my colleague that I can't go because there's no bus. Then that's the time they get me at my house then so that I can go to work.
They have the reasons for it. I partly agree with the reasons. I work at the hospital myself, so it is inconvenient for me. Because I do understand with that, but it is an inconvenience. I just personally hope it doesn't last too long and they can come to some kind of agreement and resolution for it, yeah.
Quite frustrating. I understand the bus driver's point of view. We all want better terms and conditions at work. We're not going to get them. I've lost hours at work. So I'm getting to work late, I'm leaving work early, but it is what it is.
Okay, that's some of the passengers at Lord Street bus station this morning. What impact then have these bus strikes had on businesses on the island? Well, Chanel has spoken to the owners of the Marine Hotel in Peel.
The owners of the popular bar in Peel say they've noticed the impact that the strike by members of Unite the Union has had on hospitality. The marine is situated on Shore Road. Sandra Farragher told me that on a normal day during the week, they'd often serve pensioners planning a trip to the West. She says that with a free bus pass, they would visit the charity shop and then stop at the bar, but on days when buses have been affected, they haven't been able to travel. In the evening, Sandra says they often serve a group of customers who commute in from Ramsey and back, but due to the disruptions, these visits have stopped as well. And over the weekend, the business hasn't been as busy as usual because people are either rushing to get the last bus back home or choosing to stay at home and avoid having to walk back in the rain and cold. Sandra says while it's impacted customers, it's also created difficulties for young staff who live in Douglas but rely on public transport to get to work. She's hoping the dispute can end soon so they can welcome customers back to the business.
Chanel Suku reporting there. Well, there is a contingency bus timetable in place that is being brought back in for the next 4 days, and we'll be sharing that on our social media pages. You can find it on the Bus Fanning page as well. Just gone 5:10, and Manx Care today has issued an update on pay awards for 2025-26 and 2024-25, as Siobhan Fletcher reports.
Whilst the healthcare body was not directly involved in PSC pay negotiations, that's the Public Services Commission, it is the stationed employer for a significant number of the PSC workforce. The pay award for 2025-26 was settled through independent arbitration at 3% and was paid in February 2026 salary to all staff employed by the PSC on the 18th of December last year. For Manx pay terms and conditions and National Joint Council staff, Manx Care worked with trade unions to agree a pay award for 2024-25. This was settled at 5%, with 4% already paid in March 2025. For those staff employed on the 2nd of March this year, the additional 1% for 2024-25 will be paid in the March salary. Meanwhile, the pay award for 2025-26 was settled at 3%. Manx Care has thanked its payroll team for working the extra hours required to pay this award in this financial year. Separately, Manx Care has made an offer to health, medical and dental employed staff. However, to date, this offer has not been accepted. In February, the body invited staff side members to conciliation via MERS.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting there. Now, the UK Marine Accident Investigation Branch has published an initial report into a fatal accident aboard an Isle of Man registered bulk carrier 3.5 miles southeast of the coast of Sweden in October last year. Simon Richardson has the details.
The bosun aboard the vessel World Prize lost his balance and fell overboard from the vessel's main deck whilst rigging the starboard pilot ladder in preparation to disembark two pilots. The bosun struck the bottom platform of World Prize's accommodation ladder before falling into the sea. The World Prize was leaving port when the incident occurred. The pilot vessel crew witnessed the man's fall and immediately turned to rescue him from the water. Tragically, though, the bosun, who was seen lying face down in the sea, slipped beneath the surface. His body was eventually recovered by divers the following day. The MAIB report on behalf of the Isle of Man Ship Registry concludes that the bosun and other members of the crew had been working for an extended period within 2 metres of an unguarded deck edge where a fall hazard of 13 metres existed. The bosun was not wearing a restraint or fall arrest equipment and was not tethered to the vessel. A post-mortem found his death was caused by drowning, but pointed out that the bosun's moderate head injuries were not considered to have been immediately fatal, but with the possibility of impaired consciousness, they may have contributed to his drowning.
Simon Richardson reporting. It's coming up to 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So Athol Street is open again now. It was shut for a time earlier because of a single vehicle RTC. There are still lots of temporary lights around at the moment, still at the bottom of Cueg Hill, that's near the railway bridge, Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge, in Peel at the top of Derby Road, that's between the swimming pool and Ballaquane Road. And just to let you know that from Monday, the old Castletown Road is going to be closed at the White Hoe. That's for work on the wastewater pumping station. It's going to be a 24 hours a day closure until Wednesday. Veterans Day, the 25th of March, so access to the Whitehoe Industrial Estate will be via Cueg Hill. Access to Douglas will be via the Quarter Bridge, and I think we can expect that traffic will be busy on those diversion routes. Looking down at the airport, all looking pretty good down there this evening, which is great. And then the Manxman is due into Douglas. Oh, actually, it's there. It's already here. Heading out again for Heysham at 6:30.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside. Quayside, 664417. Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate. Quayside.
Listen to update here on Manx Radio. And improving whistleblowing policies on the Isle of Man has been like turning an oil tanker. That is according to the Public Services Commission. It's been giving evidence to a Tymwald committee looking at the effectiveness of the island's laws. Rob Callister, MHK, is the chair of the PSC. He says it's too soon to say how well the island's policies, which were changed in October last year, are working.
There's always lessons to learn. And this is probably the reason why I personally, as an MHK, voted against setting up this committee. It wasn't the fact that I'm not passionate about whistleblowing. It was the fact that I know that the latest policy, the strengthened policy which I've outlined, only came into effect in October, and it needed time to embed. We needed time to get feedback to be able to understand if the training is working, if the policy's working. I would have wished that this committee was set up early in the next administration to look back. But as you say, if you go through the history, go right the way back to 2016, we have significantly evolved around this policy, and it will continue to evolve over the next 10, 15 years. But at the end of it, I wish we had a little bit more time to see how the new policy, because it's really difficult for us, other than to say that it is an incredibly strengthened policy. We have introduced this mandatory training, compulsory training for new starters. It's a question now of allowing the workforce of within, right across the Isle of Man government, have the confidence to make those submissions, where in 2016, they may not have felt as confident to make those submissions. But I hope people today can with confidence make those submissions.
I think it's a little bit like turning an oil tanker. We've made some significant changes, but that timeline has been very short. We need some more qualitative information.
But also, people have seen the hurt and the heartbreak that some people have been through. So it is going to take time, isn't it?
It is, but I think some of it comes down to some of the misinformation that's being put into the public domain. We all have a duty here to say that if you have a genuine whistleblowing concern, you will be protected. However, the flip side of that is, if it's established that it doesn't fit within the criteria, that it's not corruption, it's not bribery, it's not health and safety, then there has to be some acknowledgement that it isn't a whistleblowing case. And if you have an employment concern, that is completely different.
That is the chair of the Public Services Commission, Rob Callister, MHK. You also heard there from Tim Glover, MHK, and Bill Mummery as well. 17 and a half minutes past five. A programme to provide fluoride varnish treatments for all local primary schools is now underway. The Smile of Man initiative will be delivered by a dedicated team every 6 months and offered to children from reception to year six. Lewis Foster has more.
The Children's Oral Health Report published last year found a higher level of tooth decay in five-year-olds on the Isle of Man than in the UK. Fluoride varnish is proven to prevent tooth decay and dental cavities. It's pain-free, takes 5 minutes, and will be applied by a qualified dental nurse in school settings. This week, it was the turn of students at Balaff School. Dr. Ross Keat is a consultant in public health and also a dentist.
People probably know the Smile of Man programme in relation to its supervised toothbrushing arm. This is an additionality to that project, which means that we apply fluoride varnish to the teeth of children in primary schools now. There's a lot of evidence which demonstrates that applying this fluoride varnish can both prevent decay from starting to occur, but then can also begin to reverse some early decay in children. Yeah, the children have been great. They always are. There's always so much engagement with the supervised toothbrushing, with the fluoride varnish. Children always like to tell me how much they know about teeth, which is always good to know. I'm always learning. And I think generally it's very well tolerated. As you've seen, it's really easy to do. You don't need specialist settings or equipment. You just need a little space where we can get the children sat down, and putting the fluoride varnish on takes about 1 minute.
Isabella Syme is a dental nurse for Smile of Man.
So we're trying to teach them from a young age to ensure that they're doing good oral health habits by brushing twice daily, spitting instead of rinsing after brushing. It's always best, you know, if they are going to brush twice daily, it needs to be sort of right before bedtime. That's your most important brush of the day. And then in the morning, half an hour after they've had their breakfast, teaching things about not having sugary snacks throughout the day, ensuring when having drinks it's water and milk, and just general health eating habits. Fruit, vegetables are always the key. And yeah, just making sure they're aware of that, teaching them from a young age, and hopefully they'll grow up and they'll have the best teeth ever.
Oh, that was some of the children from Balaf School where Lewis went to see them yesterday. There's a lovely video on our Facebook page of them. It was World Book Day as well, obviously, so you see some cracking costumes too. Now, the Information Commissioner has ruled that Douglas Council must provide a new response to a Freedom of Information request about the former nurses' home development. The City Council was asked about the Manx Development Corporation's project, including building control, asbestos, the number of site visits carried out by the council and associated notes. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more.
Douglas Council claimed the information was exempt under economy and commercial interests and that publication would reveal trade secrets. Dr. Alexandra Delaney Bhattacharya said while some parts could qualify as exempt under a trade secret, the lack of detailed assessment meant it wasn't possible for her to ensure it was the correct outcome. She also found inaccuracies on the notice, which states that the request was received on the 30th of April 2024, but other documents show it was received on the 26th of April. The council also sought clarification from the applicant on some of the points in the request. Dr. Delaney Bhattacharya added that the refusal was in response to the additional information provided, rather than the initial request. In her report, she confirmed she was provided with the withheld information and there was no evidence that each part had been reviewed. She also said there was no consideration to whether redactions to parts of the information that fell under the exemption might have been appropriate. Dr. Delaney Bhattacharya concluded the local authority had applied a blanket exemption and failed to demonstrate the public interest factors for and against disclosure. Douglas Council now has 30 days to reassess the request and provide a response to the applicant.
Emma Draper reporting there. Well, chasing a fifth straight game unbeaten at home, FC Isle of Man are back at the Bowl tomorrow night to host Atherton Laburnum Rovers in the NWCFL Premier Division. The visitors are on an 8-match winning streak. They beat the Ravens in the reverse fixture between the sides in late January. But FC Isle of Man caretaker manager Rick Holden believes there were positives from that defeat several weeks ago and also reflects on last week's late draw with Abbey Hill.
They're the form side. We didn't know much about them when we played them at their place, and it was an odd game. We were short on numbers, as we are this weekend, to be honest. And we put a scratch side out, but we did very well, and the score flattered them, and they admitted it. Had people watch the game over. So we created a lot of chances, but they're a tough side and they're the form side in the league, so it'll be a tough game this.
Is it a case maybe they had more to play for than you did?
Not at the time. No, I don't think so at all. I think we weren't, and we still aren't. Nobody is mathematically safe, but we were still wanting to amass points and get away from the bottom. I mean, that's my job, to come in and make sure we don't go down. So we had just as much to play for as them. I just think they were better equipped on the night. And when we got it back to 1-1, we'd missed a couple of chances, and then they got a really good goal to 2-1, and then we chased it. We might as well chase it, and then we conceded one at the death. So it's not a lot, in it.
The draw with Abbey Hay, 2-2 at the end of just over 90 minutes.
So Abbey Hay was a tough game, and we expected it. It was just mad how it finished. And it sort of thumbs us up where we've been with refs and authority all season. So didn't deserve to finish like that. And everyone's pretty annoyed about it, to be honest. You know, I'm still struggling with, as I think everybody is, with interpretation of mandatory things such as bookings for pulling shirts and stripping people up blatantly. Should be mandatory bookings and they're not. And then arbitrary sort of decisions made when that's occurred, you know. And then It seems like they're falling between two stools of rest at the moment. It was bad news, and we ended up with Al Maitland being sent off and conceding the goal in the last minute. If the fans want entertainment, come and watch us, because something's bound to happen.
That is Rick Holden. That match kicks off at the Bowl tomorrow night at 6 p.m. We've got full live match commentary on DAB and AM 1368. Now, many riders' preparations will be already underway for TT 2026. And for some, they'll be returning after overcoming some big challenges in the past year or two. One of those is German rider David Datzer. He missed the 2025 racing fortnight because of injury. Now, speaking on the Startline podcast, he says he remains on the road to being physically and mentally fit for the TT.
The crash was not my fault. I had no problems
in my head to understand what happened now. It was the problem in the hospital to feel a new adventure is coming for me. It was the first weeks really hard to understand what happened or what happened next. But I grew up and I never give up. And this was the first what I told to all the people. When I'm fit enough, I go back on a bike to test before the new season. I'm ready to ride a bike again, or I have to stop. And yeah, last year, after 6 months of rehab and recovery, I come back on a bike and I win my first race again in Dumokudi. And this was for me a big milestone. I'm happy to be here on my feet and also back again on a bike.
And are you okay physically? Is everything healed?
And not yet. I have a lot of problems with my back. 9 vertebrae are completely screwed and I have also pain inside. And the muscles are not so good this time, but I work on it and I hope I'm fit enough for the TT.
It's going to be brilliant to see you back here if everything goes according to plan. What is the racing plan this year?
My racing plan is again to ride with the Roadhouse Macau with Brian McCormack. I'm really happy to get the bike back for this season. He really trusted me, or is really a good guy. The plans for us is to go to the Cookstown 100. This was a dream 4 years ago. TT is the plan, Macau, and for me, little dream is to go to New Zealand for the Suzuki 3 Option Series. But first, I have really all sorted to go to the TT completely fit and then make a 130 miles lap. This is my dream. And then we will see what I do next.
Oh, brilliant. David Datzer there. Now, Sport on Update is brought to you by The Print Shed. Here's Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. First off this evening, the quarterfinals of two cup competitions will get underway during this weekend's upcoming Isle of Man football clashes. The first set of last eight ties in both the ECAP FA Cup and GH Collett Woods Cup will run alongside league matches across the senior men's divisions on Saturday. Three of the ECAP FA Cup quarterfinals will be held. Peel will host Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Union Mills take on Corinthians and St Mary's welcome Braddon. One ECAP FA Cup first round game remains to be played tomorrow, which will see Douglas High School Old Boys face Onken, with the winner to take on Rushen United in the remaining quarterfinal tie, which is still to be scheduled. Elsewhere, one of the quarterfinal contests will be held this weekend between Douglas Royal and Pulrose United in the Woods Cup. Among tomorrow's league encounters, there's a Northern showdown in the Canada Life Men's Premier League when Ayr United host Ramsey, whilst in our Dernan Drug Unlimited Division 2, Colby, who beat title rivals Castletown last week, face another Southern derby as they take the short trip to Maloo, where you can see a full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. In rugby, Douglas will be looking to remain in the hunt for the playoffs in Regional 2 Northwest this weekend. Phil Kringle's side welcome Firwood Waterloo to Portishead at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, with the Islanders hoping to improve on a recent run of 2 wins from their last 9. Also on Ireland on Saturday, Vagabonds Ladies are back in action in Women's NC2 North South at Bala Fletcher against Bury. Whilst in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield, Western Vikings will entertain Southern Nomads at QE2. Elsewhere, Ramsey face a tough trip to Oral in Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. And finally, in hockey, cup final places will be up for grabs this weekend across 6 competitions. The last 4 ties across the Men's and Ladies Cup, Plate and Bowl tournaments will be held throughout tomorrow, with matches getting underway from 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. All among the ties, Ladies Premier League leaders Valkyries A face Harlequins A in the Ladies' Cup, and the current Men's Division 1 top 2 of Backers B and Ramsey A face off in the Men's Plate. Full details of tomorrow's hockey clashes are available on our website.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. Well, that is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, Rob has Friday's sport preview for you, so taking you through all the things that are happening over this weekend. Chris Kinley will then be here at 6:30 with Greatest Hits. At 9, it's Jumping In with the Kane Brothers, Howard and Chris, and Rhianne will be with you from 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a lovely one. Hope you get some sunshine. Update will be back at 5 on Monday.